Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
We've got breaking Commanders roster news for you in a moment right here on Grant and Danny. A reminder that we're brought to you today and every day by the law firm Condori and Murad, who want to help you with your last will and testament or a revocable trust for you and your family. To get a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today, go to kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Neither of these moves are a surprise. They're both notable, though. Austin Seibert is headed to injured reserve. Clearly, he came back from that injury, missed two extra points and a field goal, and the kickoffs weren't exactly what they would have liked. And so, Seibert, now to the IR, means, I guess, Zane Gonzalez, assuming he's still available, gets back on the roster. They have to have him on speed dial, but they'll be in the kicking market this week. So you're in flux now as you get into the stretch run of your season with the playoffs on the line at the kicking position, which is never good.
Yeah, Zane is on their practice squad as of now, I think.
Okay, so he's in the building. That makes sense. That's good GMing by Adam Peters. And then Chris Rodriguez Jr. signed as well. Remember, they released him this past week. He was not on the roster over the weekend as they played, but then Robinson hurts his ankle. Eckler suffers a concussion. You're going to have Jeremy McNichols and Chris Rodriguez carrying the football this week, it looks like, with possibly another back, maybe Michael Wiley being elevated from the practice squad. So those are some roster updates for you from Ashburn. We're going to cover the Commanders coming up on the Beltway Blitz in just a few minutes. But speaking of the Blitz, let's talk Caps and Wiz and start off on the ice. Bailey Johnson of the Washington Post covers the Caps. Bailey, that felt like a big win last night for the locals. They had not won in two games without Ovechkin. They were up by a goal into the third period at a good Florida Panthers team. And then they get a couple of empty netters late to make it 4-1. But that was hard-earned, huh?
It was hard-earned and definitely their most complete effort in a while. I think, honestly, really dating back to probably before the Columbus game at the beginning of the month, Spencer Carberry hasn't been totally in love with how his team is playing, even when they've won games over the last several weeks. He really wants them to control play and not have to do the kind of hang on and survive that they've done a lot lately, even those wins in Vegas and in Utah at the end of the last road trip. They were good wins and they were dominant on the score sheet, but as far as the actual flow of play and the shots, I mean, Logan Thompson had to make 25 saves in the third period of that game against Vegas on the 17th. He only had to make 6 saves in the third period last night, which really sums up the difference in how they were controlling play.
Yeah, Bailey, not a ton of goals since Ovechkin goes out, which I understand, leaving the league in goals. But last night, I know they got the two empty netters to kind of change the eye line. Even though they only scored 2 before the empty netter, I thought that was the best their offense had looked kind of throughout start to finish. Connor McMichael probably could have had 5 goals last night by himself, was robbed several times over. I actually liked the way that they pushed offensively last night. That was the best since Ovi gotten hurt. Agree?
Agree. They tweaked a couple things with the forward lines. They had Tom Wilson playing with Alexi Protas and Dylan Strome, and then moved Taylor Radish to play with Connor McMichael and Pierre-Luc Dubois, which was the third different set of combinations in the top 6 they've tried in what was their third game since Ovechkin got hurt. Definitely was the ones that have worked the best so far. I thought Wilson paired well with Strome and Protas. He played with Strome a lot last year, so that was some familiarity there. Taylor Radish is new to the team, but his skill set seems to click pretty well with Dubois and McMichael. He made a couple plays. Like you said, McMichael could have had a couple goals. Those were usually coming off of plays that Taylor Radish made to kind of get things started for that line. So I agree. I thought that was the best their offense has looked. Found a little chemistry. The third line with Lars Eller, Hendrix Lapierre, and Andrew Mangiapane was the best it's been in a while. Eller got the first goal and then one of the empty netters. So definitely the offense started to look like it has a little bit of life and a little bit of spark for the first time since Ovi's been out.
Bailey, I am a sucker for the dad's trip. I think it's one of the best things about the NHL and hockey. I don't see it in other sports. Tell people about the tradition and how the Caps are celebrating it this time around.
Yes, I believe it actually was started by Barry Trotz a while back, not when he was in Washington, but before that, invited his players to bring their dads or someone who's important to them. That's why the Caps call it the mentor's trip, because not everyone's brought their dad. Some guys have their grandfather or their brother or their father-in-law, but really they just get to bring someone who's important to them, someone who most of them were important in their hockey careers as far as either, you know, paying for things, driving them to practice, being there at all the games and everything when they were growing up. So it's sort of a way that they can give back and show the people in their lives what their lives are like and bring them along for the ride. The dads and the mentors have a blast. I mean, you know, it's kind of just a four-day party for them in a lot of ways. So they have a lot of fun. It usually gives the team a little bit of a lift to have these, you know, have their folks with them, and they want to show off well, obviously, when they've got an extra big group of people in the building. So it's a really fun tradition and one the Caps have fun with. I remember last year on this trip, they got a huge win over the Bruins in Boston in February. So kind of similar vibes last night with the way they played in Florida, and we'll see if they keep it going here in Tampa tomorrow night. But a really fun trip, one that I know the guys look forward to every year and one that they have a lot of fun with.
Bailey, quick one. I know it's probably not fair just to pick on one particular power play, but I think there was one power play last night where I don't know if the Caps got it into the offensive zone. It was like, everyone sort of looking around, trying to do nuclear fusion with chopsticks at one point. I know, again, it's not going to be the same without Ovechkin, but I know even they got a power play goal last night from Jacob Chychrun. But it just didn't look right. The operation wasn't terrific last night, and it's probably going to be a struggle for a while. How do they tweak that? How do they fix that? Any room for improvement there?
Yeah, I wouldn't be overly concerned. I know the power play you're talking about, and it definitely didn't look great. I think one of the notes I wrote down when I was, you know, taking notes during the game was power play still an issue. Mm-hmm. So it's something they're still trying to find their footing with without Ovi, but they've also had moments. They've had power plays in the other games that have looked okay and just haven't down the back of the net. So I wouldn't want to overly pick on that one. You again know which one you're talking about, and they looked a little bit out of sync, but it came early in the game when they were still kind of finding their footing overall. Once they found their footing at 5-on-5, they got that power play goal from Jacob Chychrun in the third period and looked more cohesive. So I think the way the offense played in the second and third periods will help the power play in games going forward.
Bailey, fantastic info on the Capitals. Thanks much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Last night sure was big for them to get 2 points without Ovi. Next up for the Capitals tomorrow night in Tampa against the Lightning, a 7:30 puck drop. You can hear that game right here on The Fan. Let's keep it moving. Our guy Glenn Consor, Wizards Radio Network. Of course, you've seen him all over town talking about the Wiz for many years. And Glenn, there's more youth and there is more of a plan this time around. Doesn't make it any easier, though. They are 2-13 as they get ready to host the Bulls tonight. 7-11 Chicago is coming to the district. What have you made of these first 15 games?
Well, you know, I've been very impressed with the young players, and also some of the veteran guys like Malcolm Brogdon has come back, and he looks good. Valanciunas has probably been the most productive per-minute guy on this team. I mean, he just comes in and gets stuff done. The young guys look really good, and you know it's really incredible what we're seeing here, because you got four young players: Bilal, Keyshawn, Bub, and Alex Saar. All four of those guys are under 20 years old, getting over 30 minutes a game. So you know that is rare to see in the NBA, and these minutes are very valuable, and they really perform very well.
Let's go to Kyle Kuzma here for a second. I think, understandably, Glenn, when you put the ball in Jordan Poole's hands most nights, it's going to be a little bit tougher for Kuzma to be able to kind of get off and get going offensively. It just feels like he hasn't quite fit in just yet. I know he's working back from injury at times as well. What have you seen from his game? And, you know, there's for someone that's that big and strong and athletic, hard for me to stomach him getting one rebound the other night. You know, yeah. And I know his teammates got more, but just feels like he's not in it yet.
You know, I think he's going to be fine. He's a prolific scorer. He could really score. And I think what you're seeing with Kuz is, you know, they're asking him to play a lot more off the ball this year than he had in the past. So that's an adjustment that he has to make, and he'll figure it out. I mean, he could really shoot it. I think he's defended fairly well this year, and I think he's been really helping the young guys get better. So he's been selfless in that matter. And I think, you know, he'll get his rhythm back. I think it's a rhythm thing with him. And you know what? Playing with young guys like the Wizards are playing major minutes. The young guys are making adjustments, and the vets are making adjustments with themselves.
So just speaking of the young guys, you referenced Alex Saar. I thought he had a really good game the other night. Just he's still so young, and I know, man, you know, some of the shooting percentages aren't where people would like them. I don't care about that, frankly. Someone that's that big and that athletic that moves around the way that he does on the basketball court, let's figure it out ultimately. What have you seen from him, and where does this thing go in terms of where Saar is going to end up?
First of all, he has really started to play very well. He had 17 points and 14 rebounds against Indiana, and he's 19 years old.
Yeah.
Now, if I know you, Danny, well enough, as like I do, the shirt you're wearing is about 20 years old.
It's pretty much true, actually. It's about 10 years old.
Okay. I think it's 20, but you don't want to say anything. But, the, you know, that's he's 19.
It's ridiculous,
I mean, he's 19. He's fourth in the NBA in blocks, not amongst rookies. He's fourth in the NBA in blocks overall. He's learning. He's getting minutes. You know, he needs to put on weight. He needs to get stronger, which, you know, 19-year-old bodies, this is what it looks like. So, you know, I think the minutes he's getting now and getting some tutelage from Valanciunas, who's been tremendous, it's only going to help him. His upside is really good. And, you know, he hasn't shot the ball well, but his shot's not broken. He's not afraid to get it up. He's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Consor
on the Wiz as they get ready for the Bulls tonight at Capital One Arena. How about Chicago? What do we need to know about them? Bit of a slow start. And they're, I got to be honest, I'd rather be the Wizards, where you're at least committing to a rebuild. You're in a bad spot in the standings, but as a means to an end, I mean, the Bulls are kind of in a more middling territory. What have you seen from them?
Yeah, I mean, they're a dangerous team. They shoot a lot of threes. They lead the NBA. They're second in the NBA to the Celtics in three-point field goals made. They got multiple players like Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine's played very well. You know, who knows how long, you know, he is going to, you know, keep shooting this well. But he's shooting 44% from three. They got Josh Giddey on the trade with Caruso. Vucevic, who always is, he's like one of the most underrated big guys in the NBA. He's shooting 46%. And Kobe White. They got four or five guys shooting over 40% from three. So they'll get it and go. They'll want to push the pace. They're second in the NBA in pace. Actually, they lead the NBA in pace per 18 games. And pace referring to the total number of possessions a team uses in a game. So, you know, they get out and run. That's not fast break buckets. That's just, you know, possessions. So they lead the NBA in pace, and Wizards, I think, are fourth. So it's going to be an up-tempo game, and I think from the Wizards' standpoint, playing against this team, they limit their turnovers, the unforced turnovers, and don't settle for threes. You got a chance of beating them.
Glenn, thank you as always, buddy. Talk soon.
All right, guys.
See you, my friend. Hit that local 53 sounder. We bring on Eric Bickle to talk about the Local 53. EB, two things. One, I spit out my coffee this morning in my vehicle when you said, and I quote, is Blue Short still alive? I don't think I've laughed that hard in a long time. Second.
I'm sorry. I just haven't heard from him. Is he okay?
I think he's okay, but I can't confirm it. But that made me laugh harder than I've laughed in months.
I was texting with him today. Blue Shorts is doing great.
Okay, good.
I mean, almost tears in my eyes laughing so hard. Secondly,
yeah.
Why are people disrespecting your boys? A lot of people picking the Titans all of a sudden.
Yeah, listen, I get it, but people have lost they've lost confidence, right? And I guess I have a little bit too, but I still just have tremendous amount of faith in this kid. I think he's a superstar. I think we need to put a little bit more on his shoulders, not less. And I think he's dealing with some guys that aren't quite as talented as he is. And we need to let this kid do his thing. And I just have total faith in him. I think that the legend of the Titans defense is crazy. Who cares? They're the Titans. I'm taking my boys. And I'm just tired of the disrespect. I still think we're an okay football team that should beat teams like the Tennessee Titans.
Where are you at on Cliff Kingsbury right now?
I'm hot and cold on him. Now, listen, I'm the first one to admit that these guys are all 100 times smarter about football than me. They know way more than me, right? That's a given. I stipulate to that. But, like, I don't know. I thought he babied them a little bit too much at the beginning. Then I thought he had it going, right, obviously. And now I think when he was hurt, I don't know, things just started to dissipate a little bit, and I just lost a little confidence. I don't know if it's because Terry always lines up on the left side or, you know, certain concepts that he runs. I don't know that stuff. I'm not sophisticated enough. But I sure would like to see a little more protection for Jaden so that he can complete some intermediate throws. I don't like this idea of run, screen, run, and then a shot to Terry or something. Like, I just think that's weird. Like, this kid can do it all. He can make all the throws. Let's protect him. Maybe let's do a little bit more in that area. I know a lot of times they chip with the tight ends and a running back. Let's try to do that maybe as often as we can. And let's just let this kid execute. And if it's not there, let him take off and go. That's where he really lights this place on fire. I don't know. I think it's impossible to ignore the Cliff second half decline. I don't want that to be true. It's kind of embarrassing for him. But when you got like a decade plus of data all pointing to the same thing, there might be something there. I'm not smart enough to know, but I sure wouldn't make fun of it when they ask you a question about it in the press conference.
How much will Marshawn Lattimore help if and when he comes back?
I think he'll help a lot. You know what's amazing? I don't actually think Benjamin St. Juice is the worst corner I've ever seen. I actually don't think that. He's oftentimes in good position. This guy, in what, 40-some career NFL games and 30-some career college games, he's got one career interception. He's the worst all-awareness corner I've ever seen at this level. I've never seen anything like it. So I think, do you agree? I think Lattimore will help a lot. But I think there's a role for St. Juice somewhere for a big corner, just not guarding number ones.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know, do you agree?
No, completely. Yeah. I think he's in the – I mean, you look at the PI penalties, the physical penalties he has. He's often – the coverage is decent. Now, he has this year at really bad times been beaten deep now a few times here over the last month. So it's harder to defend him on those. But, yeah, I think by and large, the narrative and the actual play up until the last few weeks probably wasn't quite even. Hey, before we let you go, are you on the golf course? It's a little windy. Where are you?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
I'm sorry. No, I'm on the golf course. I thought I'd be done, but it's starting to get bogged down. I'm lane 18. I'm playing terribly. I'm not drinking. It's not a good day.
When did you get – I mean, you used to be steamed up for golf, I feel like, but then you weren't. Now you're, like, obsessed again. Is this the most into golf you've ever been?
Most ever. Most ever. Because as my kids, you'll see this. As your kids get older and they start to kind of graduate from you, you got to find your life again, right? So
that's
I need to
true.
Find something – that I can major in again. I can't major in chasing two of my kids anymore. So
do you go out by yourself in golf, or do you have buddies you'll meet?
Oh, no. I got buddies, and I joined a very modest local club that's awesome. And so, yeah, I know guys, and I got a little group. I highly recommend it. It's the best thing I ever did. It's relaxing. I don't know what you do for relaxation. I think you go to, like, Wizards games. Something.
Capitals mainly.
Pretty much. It's just running that glass, Eric.
Yeah,
you'd like it.
I love the Caps games.
Yeah.
Now, you know what I am? I'm a huge movie guy. I love going to the movie theater, eating popcorn, and just drinking a Pepsi Zero or Coke Zero and watching a film.
You don't go there like JP and like get like a steak at the movies, do you?
Oh, I've never ordered food at the movie. Like, people do these, even nachos or all the chicken tenders. No chance. I eat before I go, and then I pummel popcorn.
Dude, when they pump the smell of that popcorn in, and as soon as it hits you, you gotta get the popcorn.
Oh, it's the best.
I mean, you got to. Yeah, it's amazing. Until that tummy ache kicks in about halfway through the bucket.
that'll get you. That'll happen.
Yeah. You're one in one of those humble Bethesda golf clubs? One of those, like, low cost options? I didn't want to let that line pass.
No, I mean, it is. It's a modest club. It is. I'll tell you, I mean, people know. It's a modest club, Danny. It is. It's nice. It's great food. It's modest. It's probably not something. It's nice. It's fine. It's fine.
Eric, go finish strong, buddy. We appreciate you hopping on the golf day.
All right. I'm sorry, guys.
It's okay, buddy. Have fun. No.
Don't be sorry. It was good.
Doing us a favor,
You sounded good. I just could tell you were out and about somewhere. There's Eric Bickle of the Junks. Listen to him at 6 a.m. See you, brother, tomorrow morning with the Junkies right here on The Fan. That there is your Beltway Blitz. We want to try a segment next we haven't done on the show, but I think it could be fun. So the idea here is going to be summed up, I think, pretty easily in the title. Okay? We're going to play... You guys don't want to hear this, but. So, you're going to come up with a take you actually believe about the Commanders, player on the Commanders, whatever it is, that maybe people don't want to hear, but that's right. You don't want to hear this, but Commanders edition. We'll do that next. We got Chris Trapasso at 5 to talk about Jaden Daniels' struggles. We got Mateo Dunn of the Fairfax School Board to discuss Hayfield football being out of the playoffs again at 5:30. You're listening to The Fan. We're going to try a segment out here. We're going to call it, You Guys Don't Want to Hear This, But. This is the Commander's edition of You Don't Want to Hear This, But. So we'll give you some examples, and then we'll open up the phones for you guys at 800-636-1067. So this is probably, if I had to sum it up, I would say maybe a take that isn't going to be loved by the fan base. Something that isn't going to go over well, but it's true. Little truth serum kind of take here. So, Danny, why don't you go first? You guys don't want to hear this, but.
You guys do not want to hear this. And I'm going to catch some Eric blank for this.
Okay.
But they really botched the second round of this draft this year. They got a guy that can't get on the field for an offense that's struggling who plays offense. They got a defensive tackle for a defense that can't stop the run. That second round cornerback, Mikey Sanderstall, will help them. That should have been the only guy on that side of the ball they drafted. They missed their chance to really improve an offense that now is in desperate need of playmakers.
Ooh, okay. You guys don't want to hear this, but the offensive regression that we're seeing right now is the best thing that could have happened to this team. Because Cliff Kingsbury is not going to be a head coach anywhere next year if this continues.
He will get more of the answer, yeah.
He will be back as their offensive coordinator, and Jaden Daniels will have consecutive years working with Kingsbury in the same offense without any major changes. You don't want to hear this, but they weren't winning the Super Bowl this year anyway. So you might as well come back to the pack, a little dose of reality, be what you actually are, not play above your head, and not lose your offensive coordinator to a head coaching job.
You guys probably don't want to hear this, but they botched this Austin Seibert thing. He was rushing back from injury, and you let him do it. There should have been more patience and more calm, right? Because he's got someone breathing down his neck now, and old Zane Gonzalez kicking from the practice squad or whatever. They did a Brian Daboll kind of bit where they go, this injured guy, I'll take him at his word for it. Now he can't kick it out of the end zone. I don't want to say it lost you a game. What lost you the game was you weren't as good as the Cowboys and a million things went wrong. But some of those mechanical things about not being able to kick the ball to the end zone, some of the botches, now the guy's on IR 48 hours after the final game, they didn't handle this kicker situation correctly.
You guys don't want to hear this, but if you're just looking at the last few weeks of football, Jaden Daniels might be the fourth best rookie quarterback playing over these last couple of weeks. Now, he should be the rookie of the year as of the whole season. But if we're just looking at the last couple of weeks, Bo Nix in Denver, Drake May in New England, Caleb Williams with a new coordinator in Chicago, if you're ranking the quarterbacks based on their last couple of maybe three games or so, I think Jaden Daniels is third or fourth. Now, that's a very, very small sample and may not matter, but it's been a little while. You guys don't want to hear this, but September was a while ago, man. Middle of October was a month ago. It's time to get Jaden Daniels back on track here because we are headed toward kind of a half and half year where he's been electric, unbelievable, historic, amazing for about half of the year, and the other half has been very fine. I'd like to get back to the electricity and the fun and the let's talk about him as an MVP stuff.
I can't prove this one. I just read this before, I've done this dance before, I've seen it. You guys aren't going to want to hear this, but this Marshawn Lattimore hamstring thing ain't going away. We're going to be doing this dance for a while. Limited on Wednesday, Thursday walkthrough, tried individual drills, is on the Curtis Samuel treadmill on the Memorial bike on the side. This thing is not going anywhere. We're not just going to all of a sudden have him, and then he plays great.
You guys don't want to hear this? But Brian Robinson gets hurt too much, and they need a new RB1 this offseason. They need to go get someone with some speed who can stay on the field and prove a little bit more durable. I like B-Rob as much as you guys do. In fact, I love the kid. 25 years old, what he's overcome. He's done some really good things. But you're going into a week against the Dallas Cowboys, easiest team to run on in the National Football League, and he gets banged up on the first play, and it's 5-for-13 after he got rolled up on. It was a gruesome, awful-looking thing. I can't believe he wasn't more seriously hurt.
Yeah, same.
But here we are. He's got 2 100-yard games this season. They're too good a rushing team when it's right for that to be the case. All right, the segment is called You Don't Want to Hear This, But. It's Commander's Edition. Clary, what do you got?
You guys may not want to hear this, but Terry McLaurin ain't going to be a wide receiver one on this team making a playoff push. He's good. He's a wide receiver 1B. You need a Justin Jefferson. You need someone who has Sam Darnold throwing him the ball and he's still going to get 130 yards and 2 touchdowns. And sometimes Terry just ain't that.
Wow. So hold on. Let me double click on this because you're right. I don't like that very much.
Yeah.
I didn't like hearing that.
I'm not saying you said anything wrong. So you're saying to make the playoffs or to like make a playoff
make
run?
Make a playoff push. Like okay. in the playoffs. So yeah.
So to go on a run, they need basically a better receiver than McLaurin and then let him be the 1B.
Yes. And then you are set.
I think you're right about two things. One, people are going to hate that. And two, they'd be a hell of a lot more explosive offensively if that was the case.
Now, he's fourth in the league in receiving yards. However, he's the only guy that's played 12 games on that list. If you go to yards per game, it's a very different story.
Well, he's having a great year.
He's had a very nice year, yeah.
He's had 5 100-yard games for the first time in his career. That's never happened before. But, I mean, we see it. He's the number one receiver in, like, contested catch category stuff. He has to make a lot of catches with dudes draped all over him. He occasionally does get open deep vertically down the field. This past week, he had a guy beat, and Jaden Daniels basically threw the ball out of bounds. Darius.
You guys aren't going to want to hear this, but Jeremy Chinn, he's made a lot of fans this season so far, but he might have played himself out of a contract here. His price tag might have increased way too high for the liking of Adam Peters and company. I don't think Jeremy Chinn's re-signing here next year.
Oh, how about that?
I do know he was flat-footed on that touchdown that went right over his head in some sort of cover in like a middle third of the field. Well, I didn't like that.
We weren't going to talk about that.
DBs are going to have bad plays. He's been mostly awesome.
I think so.
Even in this game, by the way, he had a couple of huge plays and big moments. The hit he levied on have been maybe a fumble. I think it was 83. I think it was that guy I had to look up, Jalen Brooks. My God, that was Sean Taylor-esque.
Those kind of hits you don't see anymore.
I know. You really don't.
Awesome.
I love Jeremy Chinn. I need him. I want him to get a long-term deal. Darius is talking some S here, saying maybe he's played his way out of Washington with a big old payday, and they don't want to pay another safety. They got Quan Martin. You guys don't want to hear this, but 800-636-1067. It's a Commander's Edition on G&D here on The Fan. The segment we're doing on Grant and Danny is, you guys don't want to hear this, but something that you think is true that Commanders fans may not necessarily be happy to hear. A little truth serum on G&D after 3 straight losses. You're locked into The Fan. By the way, top of the hour, Chris Trapasso of CBS Sports wrote about the regression over the last several weeks of Jaden Daniels. He was playing at a level that was unsustainable. One of the great rookie stretches begins of a year that we'd ever seen. He's just been okay here recently. Overall, it's been a really, really good rookie year. Looks like he's the answer. Looks like Washington has found their man. But we'll talk to Trapasso about what's going on here during this decline. And you'll want to be listening at 5:30 for sure. Mateo Dunn, Fairfax County School Board, one of the few people all along that's been trying to do an investigation into what was going on over at Hayfield with a recruiting scandal for football, is going to join us. Hayfield pulled their team out of the playoffs. The principal did, who was originally, allegedly, involved in the planning of bringing over the coach and all the players and this big plan that got hatched. Well, the AD is the one that's fallen on the sword here. He's out. Contract terminated reportedly today. Already took a leave of absence. And the principal has pulled the team out of the playoffs. So we'll talk to Mateo Dunn about what's going on here and what this means for high school football, not only in Fairfax, but in all of the DMV. But let's get to the calls. You don't want to hear this, but Kevin in Arlington, what's up?
Hey, fellas. you don't want to hear this, but and I'm looking at you, Grant, and you, Danny.
Oh, no.
The last three games have proven to me, and when we get to the offseason, the shopping list doesn't start with, let's get one or two more passing game weapons for Daniels. We need line of scrimmage play. We got Jags on the O-line, and we got underperformers on the D-line. And we're going to have to invest again in the D-line, maybe two positions, maybe richly. And I love Brandon Coleman. I was high on him. He's at best a right tackle. Okay, well, those are more important, sadly, than the weapon that we lack opposite McClure. Those three games, we got bullied. Ron Jaworski came on with Mitchell and Finley and talked about it. We have to fix our lines of scrimmage.
So the only thing I'm going to disagree with, Kevin, it's a good phone call, buddy. We're locked and loaded, so we're going to keep it moving here quickly, is I think Brandon Coleman has been mostly really, really good. Now, there was a regression there. Certainly the Philly game, the Pittsburgh game weren't great. He had the best blocking grade among all left tackles in the NFL this past week against Dallas. And as a third-round pick who's still kind of getting his feet wet, I've seen enough there to feel like he's more than a project. Like, that could work. But otherwise, I think you're right. They probably need more on the O-line, and they definitely need to get more out of the D-line. I wonder if D-Payne could be a trade chip. It's a huge contract, but I wonder if there's some thought there, because I don't think Allen's coming back
either. And maybe someone would look at it and go, oh, he needs a change of scheme, change of scenery, change of something to maybe get back to that production.
Let's go to James in Silver Spring. What's up, James?
Hey, guys. You all don't want to hear this, but offensive talent is not that good. Dallas has one A player, and we could do nothing with him, and that's number 11, Parsons.
Yeah, I don't think many people would agree.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of been the point since the offseason, right? Now, on a good day, you look around and you go, Daniels, baller, McLaurin, stud, Eckler, legit, Robinson, solid, legit, and Sam Cosmi, dude. That's not a bad foundation. But if we're looking for stars, where are your stars? Let's go to Dylan and Sterling. What's up, Dylan?
Hey, so y'all don't want to hear this, but this offensive meltdown could not have happened at a better time. If we had come out and beat Dallas 34-10, then we'd be saying, oh, well, they just played two good teams, and he was chilly, and it really was the rib. But no, Dallas figured it out, the worst defense in the league. They have no choice but to go back and to go to the drawing board. But we're already 7-5. We're ahead of schedule. I'd rather them figure it out now than going into a playoff game. You know, get it figured out. You've got Tennessee, a bye week, New Orleans.
That's a good call, man. Appreciate it. Didn't mean to cut you off. That's a smart way to look at it, honestly. Right? Where I'd rather find out sooner than later on whatever it is. Any bit of information I wanted ASAP.
I hate that loss, and I wish it didn't happen. I love the point, though.
It is a good point.
Which is, if they aren't who we thought they were, let's just get to the bottom of it now.
Yeah, let's do it now, not January 2nd.
Let's not heal with a late win against the Cowboys and walk around with our chest out like, at 8 wins, you're on your way.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Shane in D.C. What's up, Shane?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Good, buddy.
Good, buddy.
Happy Thanksgiving to y'all and y'all's family.
You too, buddy.
Hey,
too.
Look, you may not want to hear this, but Jonathan Allen and D-Payne is not going to be on this roster next year. That's a fact. And good riddance for Payne, because you know, he's since that contract year, that's all he's had. And he got his money, and now he's not even performing. Just make a play. He makes one play a week, and that's it. I think them two are off this team next year. And you know what? CNR. Good. And by the way, let me throw in something out real quick. How about my boy Dalton Connect right now in the league? You gotta give
he's
him
a bucket.
Dalton Connect can get buckets.
He is such a good fit, by the way, with a couple different guys that are handling the ball and dominate with it.
Now,
LeBron,
he wanted
Anthony Davis.
The Wizards to take him at one, or excuse me, or at two, which I still would say I'm not going to do that. But
now Dalton he wouldn't Connect be doing that here if he's number one on the scouting report. But I'm telling you, look it up. He is a bucket.
Let's go to Jay in D.C. What's up, Jay?
I got some truth serum for you.
Uh-oh.
On the Thanksgiving food drive. Can I remind you that 2 years straight, people have had to call in and tell Darius to keep it real? Potatoes au gratin, green bean casserole, strawberry pie. Come on, man. No one should be
so
Googling
Ryan's
food.
The one catching too much shrapnel, you think?
No, Ryan is the best. Ryan is the best part of the show.
Wow.
No one should be Googling Thanksgiving food.
Wow.
And you should be thinking back to the past and ranking your favorite dinners. No one should be pulling prime rib out of their tuckers.
Well,
I did that. That was the prime rib
thing. Your point is Danny every single year goes outside the box, plays by his own rules, and ruins everything? Then the answer is yes. That's totally true.
Yes. That and Darius is faking. Just choose the stuff that's on the table. And Ryan is the best part of it. It's so much fun that he drafts stuff like that in places that he probably shouldn't.
Yeah, he makes terrible picks.
That's the most fun. Stop trying to change it.
Thanks, Jay. That's some good truth serum. I think we needed to hear that before tomorrow's draft.
This is by the way, it's a running theme. Where
3 o'clock food draft.
We're like, Ryan's never seen any movies, and Darius just sits there not catching any shrapnel.
It's true.
You know what I mean?
I mean, Darius's drafts have been abhorrent. Remember John Carlson, like, just eviscerated you to the point where last year we had him on for some reason around the holidays, and he's like, is Darius the one that answered? Can you apologize to him for me again for last year? Remember that, Darius?
I remember him being incorrect about it, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was a terrible take from what I remember.
Interesting.
Yeah. And Jay always keeps me in check, so shout out to Jay in D.C.
Just a bad plate for my guy, Darius. There's no doubt. 3 o'clock tomorrow for the annual Grant and Danny food draft the day before Thanksgiving. Matt in D.C., what's up?
Gentlemen, I want to, you guys aren't going to hear this, but I got to push back on the notion that Jaden Daniels hasn't been the best. Rookie quarterback the last few weeks. I don't think any of those guys have had a stretch like Jaden did at the end of that Dallas game.
That's not what we're talking about. Oh, you mean at the end of this game. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump on you.
No, yeah. No, that's
okay,
fine.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean, that stretch was last few, none of those guys.
You mean the last 5 minutes of the game?
Yes. When
against
he, like,
the prevent
like Joe
defense?
Montana.
Okay.
Like when he just brought us down the field twice.
Is doing some heavy lifting. One of those was Terry McLaurin catching a ball in front of safeties and then running through
good ball.
Everyone.
He threw a good ball.
Like he was going through a corn maze, okay? So
if that's
taking them through the – that's not true?
He said that's
no,
true.
That is true. Okay, absolutely, okay. That is
yeah.
true. But
I mean,
that was
so if we're giving Jaden Daniels credit for that, cool, I guess.
That was a very good pass. And
to the
like
wide
the
open receiver,
very,
yes, it was. It was very good.
No, I mean he was. He had people all around him. Remember,
about 10
sort of like
feet in every direction. He did.
He was sort of like an apparition. Like the Cowboys apparently couldn't see him. But
it was wild.
The other thing I want to say is about Brian Robinson. I'm not comparing him to Saquon Barkley, but that kind of thinking. You know, players get dinged up for a couple. You know, here and there. That kind of thinking is part of the reason the Giants let Saquon go. And I'm not, like, the only reason of comparison is that this guy is a good, like, first and second down grinder. He doesn't fumble. He's had a couple of monster games this year, you know, along with, you know, it's like having this offense bring out the best in him.
Well, here's the definite truth, Matt, and it's a good football,
appreciate you,
buddy. Matt. Thanks for making it. Appreciate you hopping on. Have a good Thanksgiving. I would just say when he's healthy and rolling, the offense is good. When he's not, it's a different story.
Yeah, you keep looking at your watch. When does that happen? We're missing, you know, parts of games, entire games. When it's there, it's great, but it's not always there.
That segment was a winner. Let's jot that down. That we got to do it again.
You may not want to hear this, but that segment was good.
That was fire. We'll do it again. We got Chris Trapasso of CBS Sports coming up on why Jaden Daniels has not been playing at the same level here recently. And then Mateo Dunn of the Fairfax County School Board on the big high school football drama that we've been talking about on the show. All coming up this hour on The Fan.